We're going to now introduce our guest for this month. Lynn P. Noon is an optometrist, and she's a diplomate in low vision rehabilitation. In 2006, Dr. Noon became president of LowVision.com, which is one of our major sponsors of our group here. This is a company whose mission is to improve the quality of life for those who are visually impaired through awareness, resources, and solutions. Prior to this role, she was founder of the Viewfinder Low Vision Resource Centers located in Arizona, where she practiced optometric low vision rehabilitation on a full-time basis. She earned a Bachelor of Science degree at Providence College in Rhode Island and a Doctor of Optometry degree at the New England College of Optometry in Boston, Massachusetts. She is also a diplomate in low vision rehabilitation. Dr. Noon frequently lectures to her peers regarding low vision rehabilitation and is often interviewed for articles and news stories regarding this subject. Dr. Noon is a fellow of the American Academy of Optometry, a diplomate in low vision rehabilitation of the American Academy of Optometry. As I said, she frequently appears at many association meetings, state association. She works on many state association committees, task force. She's a member of the American Optometric Association low vision section and a member of the Association for Education and Rehabilitation of the Blind and Visually Impaired. She's been the chair of the Arizona Optometric low vision section from 1993 to the present, and a past board member of Arizona's Vision Rehabilitation. I'm sorry, she was a Arizona Optometric Low Vision Section, I believe, until 1997. A past board member of Arizona's Vision Rehabilitation and Technology Expo, and she sat for two terms on the Arizona Governor's Council for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Lynn, thank you very much for appearing with us today. We look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for having me, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. Dan, the lecture series that you present on MD support has provided a great deal of needed information from many of the leaders in the low vision field, and I really am very honored that you asked me to speak here today. Today we're going to talk about surviving in today's healthcare system. You know, I've been out of optometry school for 25 years, and the healthcare system has changed tremendously since then. When they first started talking about managed care, they really were talking about the doctor and the insurance companies managing healthcare to decrease costs. However, they really weren't talking about the patient managing their own healthcare, and that's what's happened today. In today's healthcare system, all patients must get involved in promoting their own healthcare. And to get the most out of your healthcare, you need to be active and vocal in all aspects of your care so that you do get what you need. Next slide. You also need to become knowledgeable about your own health condition. You may ask, you know, isn't it the doctor's job to manage my health care? And it really is, but doctors don't always have the time or the desire to discuss every important aspect of your medical condition. I talk to many patients, you know, who really do not understand what's happening to their eyes. They don't know the eventual prognosis, and they don't even know what their options are. There's a lot of patients that really don't understand what's going on, and the problem is probably due to their doctors not communicating well enough with the patient. But if you have the knowledge about your medical condition, it allows you to be an active participant in managing your health care. And with that knowledge, you'll be able to understand better what the doctor is telling you about your medical condition. You'll understand better what the doctor thinks needs to be done, and you'll also have a better grasp of what you can do to accomplish what needs to be done. Also, a doctor is much more likely to discuss your options if he thinks you're educated about your condition and will understand what he's saying. The doctor's going to go into much more depth if he really thinks you can understand what he's saying, and that's not putting a patient down. Patient isn't a doctor. But also, I want to caution you, don't pretend to understand something a doctor says if you don't. It's certainly okay to say, I don't understand, please explain it to me in a different way. And be sure to do that so that you understand what's going on with your health care. How do you find knowledge about your health condition? Why don't we go to the next slide? There we go. How do you find knowledge about your health condition? Certainly, your doctor and the doctor's staff are a very good choice. They should be giving you a lot of information that you need to manage your health care. You can also go to the library. That's a very good choice. The internet is becoming probably the best choice to find any information these days. And if you have macular degeneration, certainly MD support provides a lot of information. We also have lowvision.com and shoplowvision.com, which are our websites. But there's a lot of information on the internet. And if you're visually impaired and you think, well, I can't use the computer, there's a lot of ways that visually impaired people can access information on a computer. There's computer enlargement software, there's software that has speech, and that'll help you access the information on the computer. You can also go to a support group. You'll meet other people with your medical problem, and you'll learn from each other. There's a lot of information in support groups. Next slide. You also need to take good care of yourself. I mean, we all know that, and I probably should practice this more than I preach it, as much as I preach it. You don't want to smoke. If you have macular degeneration, you have a much greater risk of macular hemorrhage and severe vision loss than if you didn't smoke. So you should not be smoking. You want to eat healthy. Watch what you eat. There's a lot of evidence that a diet rich in vitamins, antioxidants, omega-3 fatty acids, and other nutrients can slow the progression of eye disease. You will also ask your doctor for ways that you can improve your diet to help your specific eye condition. And also exercise. So, you know, all the things we've been told forever, the things that you should do to stay healthy, it's going to help any health condition that you have. Next slide. You want to make the most of your encounters with your eye doctor. You know, unfortunately, in today's healthcare system, the doctor has very little time to spend with patients. And unfortunately, that's not going to change. It's probably going to get worse. So you need to get the maximum benefit from the time that you spend with your doctor. And by being organized and doing a few simple things, you can buy some time with your doctor. First of all, arrive on time with your insurance information and your completed paperwork. I mean, if they've given you paperwork ahead of time, don't waste time trying to find your insurance cards and you forgot your paperwork and we got to start all over. If you can't manage your paperwork, arrive ahead of time so the staff can help you with that task. You also want to bring a current list of medications. Don't assume that a medication, a vitamin, or a medical condition has no bearing on your current examination. I'm always amazed when patients come in and they don't have the insurance information, they don't have their current list of medications, and that really does slow down the system. I'm not saying that's the only reason doctors get behind, it certainly isn't, but it will buy you some time if you can get this information done, bring your information in and get your case history and everything done smoothly. You might also want to take the first appointment in the morning or the afternoon when the doctor isn't as likely to be behind. Next slide. One thing you need to do when you see your doctor is make the most of your encounters with your doctor. You want to give full details of all of your symptoms, discuss all issues and concerns openly with your doctor. Your doctor is going to be much more effective if he has all the information that he needs. A good medical history from a patient is a very valuable diagnostic tool, and a doctor pretty much knows what is going on with a patient just by having a good case history, but you've got to provide the doctor with the information that is needed. You might want to write down your goals ahead of time. It's sometimes difficult during the examination to remember all the questions that you want to ask the doctor. But write down your questions. When the doctor enters the room, tell him that you have written down several things that you need to address, and he'll be sure to address them with you. He may sit down at that point if he's already familiar with your case and address the issues, or he may wait until he examines you. But it's a lot easier for you to remember what needs to be asked if you write it down. And also, if you have seen other doctors that, such as a retinal specialist, bring those reports with you. Quite often, a doctor will refer a patient to me and will send reports, but they may end up at the wrong office, and I may not have them at the time of the patient's visit. So to save time, it's nice if the patient also brings the reports. And last thing I want to say is don't stray from the point. Answer the questions directly. That'll give you more time to spend with your doctor. Another thing you might want to do, next slide, a person with you to the examination. In a stressful situation, patients only hear about 50% of what is said by the doctor. And that's understandable, especially if you're hearing something totally new or unexpected. If you take a support person, that person can listen to your conversation with the doctor and later confirm what you think you heard with your doctor. They can also remind you to bring up issues that you may have forgotten to ask. You don't want to bring someone who will constantly interrupt or answer questions for you. And it's very important to me as a doctor to hear what my patient is saying to me, not what they're Children's Day to me about the parent. And not that that's not important, but I really want to hear from the patient what is going on with their life, what are they having problems with. So you want to have someone who will assist you but not take over. And also choose a support person who can think objectively, someone who will listen and remember, and even offer you emotional support if it's needed. And how do you remember important information during examination? Why don't you go to the next slide? There we go. How do we remember important information during the examination? You may want to take notes while you're at the doctor's office. If you're visually impaired, you know, you can bring a heavy lined pad of paper with and write with a black felt pen so that you can see what you're writing. You may want to bring a tape recorder to your appointment. I record the whole session without letting the doctor know, and say to the doctor when he's starting to give you instructions or he's talking to you about your eye disease, just say, can you record this at that point? And at the end of your visit, repeat your doctor's instructions or the information that he gave to you back to him to verify that you heard what was said. Next slide. Don't feel rushed when making decisions regarding your health care. That's very important. You don't have to make decisions at the time of that examination. Sometimes you may hear things that surprise or shock or upset you. You may not even have all the information that you need to make a decision at that time, especially if you're discussing a new eye condition or a new treatment. You may also want to consult with other family members who aren't present at that examination. So don't feel rushed into making a decision. You know, ask your doctor for more time to make a decision, and ask your doctor how much time you can take making the decision without endangering effective treatment. And the doctor may say, you know, you got a month to make a decision, you got 2 days to make a decision. Go home, talk to your family, and then call the doctor back and decide what you wish to do. Next slide. Okay, what are you going to do after your appointment? First of all, be a compliant patient. Recognize that you and the doctor are a team working towards the same goal, and that goal is managing your medical condition. And be honest with your doctor. Your doctor can only work with the facts. So if you didn't take your medication as directed, you know, don't pretend that you did, because you certainly don't want the doctor upping the dosage of your medication when you didn't take your medication to begin with. Also, ask your doctor when you should schedule your next appointment. I frequently have retinal patients that have come from their retinal doctor, and they'll say, well, the doctor didn't do anything for me, so I don't need to go back. Just because a doctor can't do anything for your condition at the present time doesn't mean he doesn't want to see you again. So always, when you leave the office, verify that maybe the doctor doesn't want to see you again, and he's referring you back to your original doctor, or they'll tell you when you need to make your next appointment. Next slide. Okay. And what do you do if you have additional questions after your examination? That's very common. You know, you go home and you'll talk to other people, your friends, your family, you research your eye condition or health condition, and you're sure to have additional questions. If you've just been diagnosed with a new condition that you're not familiar with, it may really be difficult to ask the correct questions at the time of that examination. So after the visit, if your goals are not met or if you have additional questions, you're going to talk to the office staff or call the office with your questions and ask that a doctor or a staff member get back to you with the answers that you need. Doctors are used to patients calling with questions. This really is a normal part of every day. Patients call, doctors answer the questions, so don't be shy about calling with your questions. Next slide. I want to talk about communication with your doctor. One of the most important parts of your relationship with your doctor is communication. Your doctor must understand you and your needs and also explain your options and discuss your treatment or your rehabilitation plan. So you really want to make sure your doctor is really listening to you and to what you're saying. You know, does he really understand your concerns? Does he respond meaningfully? Does your doctor make sure you understand what he is saying? And do you even like your doctor? The inability to communicate effectively with your doctor is a sufficient reason to find another doctor. Next slide. Also, don't hesitate to get a second opinion. If you're not getting the right answers from your doctor, or if you're unsure of the answers that you're getting, get a second opinion or even get a second doctor. People often hesitate to get a second opinion, and I'm really amazed that more people don't get a second opinion, especially if there's something serious going on, such as losing your eyesight. your doctor will never mind if you get a second opinion. And if he does, then there's really something wrong with the doctor. I think that's a right of any patient to go out and get a second opinion for, regarding surgery or anything that you're concerned with. So you want to get a second opinion if you feel uncomfortable with your doctor or his recommendations, if you feel that what you're being told isn't logical or isn't right for you, if you're concerned about a procedure, especially if it's a surgical procedure, or how about if your doctor doesn't seem knowledgeable or isn't answering your questions the way you'd like him to, or especially if you're dealing with a life-threatening condition or an increased risk of disability. So those are very good reasons to get a second opinion. Go to the next slide. Okay. Now I want to talk specifically about vision rehabilitation. I'm presuming nearly everybody here probably has macular degeneration or some other eye condition. First of all, do not assume that nothing can be done to help you see better. It's important to talk to your eye doctor about your vision problems and ask the doctor for help. Find out where you can get more information about services and devices that can help you continue to live independently despite your vision loss. You want to find out about rehabilitation programs, devices, technology that can help you adapt to your vision loss. This will help you to continue to do many of the things that you did before your vision loss. And you also, once you get low vision devices, you certainly want to learn how to use the devices, and you need to get training on the devices. Next slide. If you have been to your eye doctor and, you know, your retinal specialist, your general ophthalmologist, or even optometrist, and they'll say nothing more can be done for your vision. When your eye doctor says nothing can be done, often he or she means that nothing can be done surgically or medically. Low vision rehabilitation cannot restore your sight, but can help you to use your vision more effectively so that you can function more easily and perform your daily activities. So once your doctor says, I can't do anything more for you surgically or medically, you want to seek out low vision rehabilitation. And there's many low vision rehabilitation programs in every state. You'll want to see a low vision eye doctor who will do a low vision evaluation and make recommendations for you. There's special training to use your visual and adaptive devices. There's guidance for modifying your home so that you may live independently, and also group support from others with low vision. Next slide. What should you ask your eye doctor? When you see your general eye doctor, not your low vision eye doctor, then that's your optometrist, your ophthalmologist, your retinal specialist. These are questions you need to ask because you need to know the answers to these questions. What changes can I expect in my vision? Number two, will my vision get worse? How much of my vision will I lose? You want to ask, will regular eyeglasses improve my vision? Next question, what medical or surgical treatments are available for my condition? What can I do to protect or prolong my vision? Will diet, exercise, or other lifestyle changes help? If my vision cannot be corrected, can you refer me to a specialist in low vision rehabilitation? And where can I find a low vision examination and evaluation? Where can I get vision rehabilitation? Your doctor needs to direct you to the rehabilitation care that you need. Next slide. Here's questions that you're going to ask your eye doctor who specializes in low vision rehabilitation. I have patients that come into my office and they've been referred in, and they're really not sure sometimes why they're there, because they already have an optometrist, an ophthalmologist, a retinal specialist, and then they're wondering, why do I need another eye doctor? There's a big difference between what a low vision rehabilitation eye doctor does as compared to a doctor who's treating the medical aspects of your eyes. So when you see a doctor does low vision rehabilitation, these are the questions that you're going to ask. How can I continue my normal routine activities? Don't assume that you have to give up any activity that you like to do. You need to discuss that with your doctor. I don't care if it's something like knitting or something that makes you happy. You know, patients say, well, I don't need to do my hobbies anymore. It doesn't matter. Sure, it does. That's what makes you happy, and you need to ask your doctor how you can continue to do those. Ask your doctor, are there resources to help me with my job? Many people who are visually impaired continue working despite their visual impairment. You can ask, will any special devices help me with daily activities like reading, sewing, cooking, or even fixing things around the house? You know, many people even drive with visual impairment as long as they have the correct low vision aids. You may want to ask, what training and services available to help me live better and more safely with low vision? or where can I find a support group to help me cope with my vision loss? Okay. Next slide. Okay, but right now I want to talk about the low vision rehabilitation delivery model. We've known for a long time that successful low vision rehabilitation requires a multidisciplinary approach. And this year, low vision rehabilitation leaders from the fields of optometry, ophthalmology, occupational therapy, education, and the general community got together to develop the ideal model for effective low vision rehabilitation. And this study group is now known as the A-Team. And Dan Roberts was involved in this. Lowvision.com was also a sponsor of this, but they were leaders in the low vision field throughout the whole country. New slide. The objectives of the meeting. The objectives were to describe the essential qualities of an effective delivery system for low vision patients that ensures quality diagnosis and treatment for all that need it. Second objective was to describe the collaboration between the various disciplines that is required to bring the system into being. And the third was to identify the steps that the group participants will take to move this concept forward. New slide. The outcome of the A-Team meeting so far is this. For complete rehabilitation of a low-vision patient, we must make available a network of low-vision rehabilitation service providers. Rehabilitation is rarely complete with only one provider in low-vision rehabilitation or with any other type of rehabilitation. An example is a patient with a broken hip. They're going to need a surgeon. They have a nurse in the hospital. To get out of the hospital, they're going to need a physical therapist or an occupational therapist to help them walk again. There's many people that are part of a low-vision rehabilitation team, and that's no different in vision rehabilitation. You're going to see many people to help complete your low-vision rehabilitation, and I'll go over those people in a moment. All of these service providers must work together to meet the current epidemic of people in the United States with vision loss. Next slide. I want to discuss the various members of the low-vision rehabilitation team. Hopefully, several of you out there have seen many of these people, and you've had successful rehabs with optometry, and they're the primary healthcare providers for the eye. Optometrists examine, diagnose, treat, and manage eye diseases, injuries, and disorders of the eye. They're the doctors that prescribe glasses, contact lenses, and low-vision aids. You also have an ophthalmologist. And an ophthalmologist is a medical eye doctor who specializes in eye and vision care. IMDs are specially trained to provide full spectrum of eye care, from prescribing glasses and contacts to complex and delicate eye surgery. Now, a general optometrist or ophthalmologist, even though they may know about low vision rehabilitation, they typically do not do low vision rehabilitation in their practice. That's not something in a general practice. Next slide. If you have a vision problem, you want to see a low vision physician or a specialist in low vision rehabilitation. And this is an optometrist or an ophthalmologist who specializes in evaluation and management of the low vision patient. And the low vision doctor helps the patients perform daily activities despite visual impairment so they can enjoy life and remain independent. And these examinations are, instead of medical or surgical, instead of a medical exam, they're going to see how, they're going to concentrate on how their patients function in the real world. And that's a different emphasis. Your doctor is going to help you use your remaining vision with special low vision glasses and microscopes and telescopes and other low vision aids. They're also going to prescribe other optical and non-optical low vision aids, and they're also going to prescribe the needed services to complete your low vision rehabilitation. They're going to know what's available to you in your city to help you complete your rehab. The doctor who specializes in low vision rehabilitation does not take the place of your general optometrist, ophthalmologist, or your retinal specialist. They're performing a different duty. They're going to work in conjunction with your eye doctor to help maximize your remaining vision. Next slide. Other members of the low vision multidisciplinary team, an optician. An optician is a trained professional who grinds, fits, and dispenses eyeglasses by prescription from another optometrist or an ophthalmologist. There's also a certified low vision therapist, and the certified low vision therapist works in a part of the multidisciplinary team in conjunction with the eye doctor and provides low vision aid evaluations, training in the use of low vision aids, and referral to other appropriate resources. the certified low vision therapist also evaluates the patient's performance doing daily living activities, evaluates their ability to cope and to access community resources. You can see a doctor is not going to be visiting a patient in the house and to see how they can cook a meal, can they, and what other, if they can do their daily activities. That's what a certified low vision therapist does. An occupational therapist is another member of the team, and the occupational therapist also performs a similar role. An occupational therapist is a professional who helps individuals achieve independence. They provide treatment with the prescription of a medical doctor or a doctor of optometry, and they specialize in low vision. They can specialize in low vision rehabilitation and train the patients to use the optical and non-optical devices and adaptive techniques, and they educate about community resources. I want to say here, one of the biggest reasons that patients are not successful using low vision aids, well, there's two big reasons. One is they don't have the right low vision aid because they bought it out of a magazine or catalog without a doctor's prescription, and they probably got the wrong power magnifier or the wrong product for them. But secondly, they're not trained to use the low vision aid correctly. And you can say, well, how can you not use a low vision aid correctly? Many patients don't, and that sets them up for failure. So a certified low vision therapist or an occupational therapist is going to help the patient learn to use the device correctly, and that's really important. Next slide. So next person on the team is the orientation and mobility specialist. This is a person who trains people with low vision to move about safely in their home and travel by themselves in the community if they wish to do so. And if you're somebody who is visually impaired and now you've driven in the past and now you need to take a bus, they will go with you to the bus stop and teach you how to travel independently throughout the city wherever you wish to go. And that's very important so that you're not locked in your home and you can't go to the places that you'd like to go. You still need to get out and do things. There's also a certified vision resource teacher, and these are sometimes called the itinerant teacher or the visually impaired. And the vision resource teacher works with visually impaired students to help ensure the student's safety, independence, and success in the school. And the teacher will make recommendations for the student, the parents, and the classroom. It's very important that any student have a vision resource teacher to help guide them through the school system and make sure that they get what they need. Because the teacher in the classroom is not going to know that the student may need to get up to see things on the board and get close to the board, or that the student has a problem with glare and can't sit near the window. So the certified vision resource teacher is going to help with those things in the classroom. Next slide. Another part of the multidisciplinary team of the support providers. There are a lot of services available to people who are visually impaired. There's support groups, there's counseling, transportation services in every state. They will take you to your doctor's appointments or where you need to go. Aging services. There are community resources. Every state has a talking book library program. The books are free of charge. They come in the mail free of charge, and you can send them back and not pay postage. There are large print books. There are many agencies that serve the blind and visually impaired, and looks like most of you probably know that because you're here with those groups. The Department of Economic Security has an independent living services program and a vocational rehabilitation program if you wish to go back to work. And often they will pay for low vision aids. There's free telephone directory services and company, and the services, which is kind of like closed caption for the hearing impaired, but except for it's a service for visually impaired. And it's starting to become more and more popular on movies and some television shows. And that's just a short list of the services that are available. And the agencies that you deal with in your state can tell you what's available to you in your state. Next slide. The slide that we're looking at right now is the slide that was developed by the model that was developed by the A-Team. It's the optimum low vision rehabilitation service delivery model. And you can see that no matter where a patient enters the low vision rehabilitation system, they're going to get complete care. They may enter seeing their retinal specialist or physician, who's going to refer the patient to the low vision physician or to support providers. If they start seeing an occupational therapist, the occupational therapist is going to refer the patient maybe to the physician or the low vision physician. So for the patient to get full low vision care, we do require a multidisciplinary model. So I want to end by urging you to make sure that you see several service providers of the multidisciplinary team. And you may want to bring this chart to your one of your physicians, your low vision physician, your occupational therapist, to the community resource group so they can refer you on to the other members of the team. Thank you all for having me here today. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
We're going to leave this model in front of you here. You had a copy of it in your newsletter last month. Our goal is to educate the patient, that's you, to be a better partner in your care, and that's why Dr. Noon came in today, was to help us do that. The day is gone when the patient is at the doctor's mercy. Mainly due to the inception of the Internet, we can all be as educated as anyone else about what we need and what we can expect. Our hope is that your quality of treatment and your quality of life will be better because of the knowledge that we are trying to pass out here through this program. Hopefully you will take this picture, if nothing else, with you to your doctor. They're going to be hearing about it if they haven't already. So they should be ready for you. So if you go into the doctor's office and he says you have lost some more vision and you haven't had any rehabilitation of any kind, then pull this out and show it to him and say, this says that I'm supposed to now go to a low vision physician. And then that physician is supposed to refer me on to some therapy where I can get some training and some help to improve my quality of life and my environment and that kind of thing. And make sure that you get introduced to these things. Most communities have the resources. We know there are some that don't, but we're working on that. That's just gaps that have to be filled, and more people are going into the field of low vision, and hopefully it'll be available to everybody, even if not live, then at least maybe through this thing we call the Internet, we can even work out better care in that way. So that's all being worked on for your benefit, and you are the ones that are driving it. You're the ones that hold the key. So I think at this time we probably ought to open it up to questions. Let's see. Hari has a question, and so we're going to start with his. Hari is from the Mumbai MD group, the new group in India. He says, "You said take your reports. When I went to my retinal surgeon, a retinal specialist, with reports from other retinal specialists, he threw me out. Why do retinal specialists combine therapeutic privilege with such arrogance?" There's a good question for you, doctor.
Well, I really can't answer why they do it with such arrogance. I mean, sometimes you may not need the report from another doctor, but there are times that you really do need that report. You need to see what happened, what the report said, and it can help continue that care of that patient on that day. There's nothing worse than the patient comes all the way into the office and they're in the middle of a treatment. I'm not sure if they need to continue the treatment before they need to see me. Then I have to go find the doctor, talk to the doctor. It's so much nicer to have the information right there. And if your doctor threw you out with that, there's something wrong with that doctor. And again, back to communication, that might be a reason to get another doctor.
Dr. Ed, would you like to say a few words about what you've been listening to today?
Certainly, Dan. Thank you so much. And Dr. Noon, I want to tell you thank you so much for your presentation. Just loaded with information. I just have to say that most people won't realize that Dr. Noon, to me, is a quiet hero. She has worked diligently and put a tremendous amount of work in on the background of lowvision.com and shoplowvision.com, two websites. If you get a chance to log into those and take a look at them and realize that there's been a tremendous amount of work that she and her staff has put into that and really bringing many years of her experience into the websites. And she's just a great resource. And I met her when we were out in Kansas City, Dan, and we just are on the same level. And she just is just such a great doctor and person, too. And I'm honored to meet her and be affiliated with her in this situation. Thank you so much, Dr. Noon.
Thank you much for that. Dr. Huggett, and it's a pleasure working with you also.
We don't have any more questions on the board there, so you must have covered the field very well. And so I think we all understand what we're getting at here, and that is that we need to learn as much as we can, and we have that ability now through the Internet. We have the ability to learn everything we need to learn to manage our own care. And your suggestions were outstanding today, Dr. Noon. We appreciate you coming in and doing this for us. This takes a lot of time out of our presenters' schedules, and we do appreciate their help with that. And, of course, shoplowvision.com and lowvision.com are both excellent Websites, facilitators, you need to make those one of your main resources. I'm trying to put it up here, which thanks our sponsors, both of whom are lowvision.com and the new sponsor, Macular Degeneration Foundation. And so thank you all for coming in, and we look forward to seeing you next month when we bring in Betsy Zaborowski, who's executive director of the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute in Baltimore. Betsy is blind, and she's going to help us understand what blindness is. That's always been an issue. Are we blind? Are we not blind? What does blindness mean? She's going to be here to have a very honest and frank discussion with us about that. So I hope you're here next month for that, and we will see you then. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Huggett, and thank you, Dr. Noon.